set up the series, talk a little baseball, hopefully enjoy a few minutes. We welcome Vince Cotroneo, part of the A's broadcast team, for a good while now. After a stint with the Astros broadcast team, the Rangers some after that, and, well, not that any among us, Vince, are getting younger. As I say, welcome, here's to the new season. So your kid is now employed in the Astros organization, pursuing his father's footstep. I presume you deem that very cool.
Yeah, thanks. Dominic is with Michael Coffin over at the Corpus Christi Hooks. Had opening night last night. Had a good time. Got a chance to listen to it a little bit before our plane took off. So hardworking kid. He's wanted to do it for a long time. You know, I tried to talk him out of it a long time ago. He went from wanting to be a garbage man to a construction worker to an astronaut to a pro golfer to now he wants to do what we do. But he's having a heck of a time, and appreciate your kind words. He's doing okay.
Of course, the major leagues where the glamour is, and when you're employed by the team, you travel with the team. A relative term. Do you remember, Vince, your first full-time minor league baseball salary as a play-by-play broadcaster?
1984 Lynchburg Mets, which featured Ricky Aguilera and Floyd Yeomans and Barry Lyons and Stan Jefferson.
Just Dave missed Magadan. Doc Gooden.
So pretty good club. I made $800 a month.
Well, $800 a month, even allowing for 1984. That's not 1884. Yeah. So $800 per month. And, of course, I don't know that it's front and center, and I don't know that the major league players ultimately will really include it in the fight. But the low minors now, the floor is what? Maybe $1,200 or so for players in the low minors?
I don't really know the exact number, but I did ask our general manager, David Force, because there's been a lot of conversation here the past month or so, again, about how difficult it is for minor league players basically to make ends meet as they try to pursue their dream. I know the Blue Jays were very out front about doubling salaries or giving a 50% increase across the board. I asked David about the A system, and he said, as far as we're concerned, we're not the floor. We're kind of in the middle as far as the lower salaries are concerned, lower rungs of the system are concerned. But he goes, the A's are probably as aggressive as anybody for Triple A with minor league free agents. They'll pay, $25,000 or so a month, depending on the situation. And going back to the lower minors, he said the A's have been very aggressive. If not with pay, they have increased the budgets for nutrition and things of that nature. So they've certainly tried to do things, if not with the pay financially, certainly when they get to the ballpark, they're eating more than a cup of soup and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
So that's encouraging. It's all across baseball, they've got a ways to go, and maybe with this $11 billion business, some of that money will trickle back down.
Well, the A's a very respected, incredible organization, but with obvious financial constraints, part of why, along with the Rays last season, they were the two big positive surprises, certainly in the American League. A 6-4 start, what's the early synopsis if the A's are to surprise and, say, be hanging around with the Astros well into the summer again this year? Or should I say hanging around with the Mariners?
Well, first of all, don't run on Ramon Laureano. If you haven't paid attention this week, the Boston Red Sox got burned not once, not twice, but three times. Former Astros farmhand who the A's had acquired prior to last season, and he really was a spark plug when he came up last year in August as the A's eventually got to the wild card game. They finished six games back of Houston. I think a lot of people look at the A's, Charlie, as the season began, and they said, well, starting pitching is going to be a bit suspect. They don't have the cachet of a Verlander or a Cole, things of that nature. But on the homestand, they stuck it to the Angels, who are not very good right now, and certainly to the Red Sox at the right time. At one point, the A's starters had gone like 30-something innings and allowed one run. And I think it ended up being four runs by the starters on an eight-game homestand. So that's something that's caught some people by surprise. Their bullpen is as good as any. I would argue that Lou Trevino is rising to become the best reliever in the American League. He's not there yet, but he's an outstanding setup guy to Blake Treinen, and I think those are the strengths for the club. And great defense at third base, with all deference to Alex Bregman, who I like a great deal. Matt Chapman, by far, is the best defensive third baseman, not only in this league, but in baseball, and the numbers and the awards proved it last year, and he's picked up where he left off. The A's are minus their Gold Glove first baseman for 6 weeks with Matt Olson because of the broken bone that he suffered in his hand in Japan. So, yes, the A's, I think, believe, Charlie, after winning 97 games last year, not that that would necessarily be the number this year. It may. I don't know. But they are confident that they're in this thing all the way to the end, and they fear no one, and that takes nothing away from the talent that the Astros or the Red Sox or any other club has in the American League. They expect that what they started last year is something that they feel like they will consistently be in the conversation in September for a few years.
Hey, on Laureano and the color outside the lines just a little bit with it, was it against Toronto? He made that throw from the warning track last year, which was kind of his announcement to the world that, what? Did he just throw that? Greatest throwing arm. I won't confine you to one, maybe two or three that pop to mind, and Laureano needs to build the resume, but he's rapidly building it. Just two or three guys that, oh my God, best outfield arms you've ever seen.
Well, I mean, the play you're talking about was against the Angels. It was in August.
Okay.
It was against Ernie Young Jr. was on base, and Upton hit the ball to left center. Ramon ran it down, then threw all the fly back to first base. Eric Young Jr., he doubled off at first base. So that was that play. As far as arms I've seen, I mean, Yoenis Cespedes has had a great arm for the A's, although it's a little bit different arm. He's a little more of a sidearm arm, and he had that great throw from the left field corner. Also, against the Angels several years ago, that threw out Howie Kendrick. I mean, I've seen Jose Guillen, who's had a tremendous arm over the years. Jesse Barfield comes to mind. I only saw Roberto Clemente, on TV, but those are great arms. And the thing about Laureano that's spectacular to me is the accuracy. I mean, the fact that his throws are right on the base, either on the fly or on a hop, are tremendous. He's not a big kid. He's only about 5'10". Very solidly built, but that's what impresses me about him. When you think about the big arms in the outfield, you think about bigger guys, 6'2", maybe even 6'5", like Dave Winfield even at times comes to mind. He's not that style of an outfielder, but he has that kind of an arm.
And typically, I think we associate the majority of the greatest arms with right field, but this is a center fielder who can throw with anyone. And if you didn't catch the one last year, just YouTube Laureano warning track, and I bet you it comes up from the gap in left center field on the fly.
It was the play
base.
Of the year for Major League Baseball. It was voted the play of the year.
No, there you go. Talking with Vince Catronio, one of the A's radio voices, Astros and A's tonight. So as a numbers geek, baseball geek, I love this. So what's Chris Davis batting so far this season, and where do you project him to finish?
You want me to say 247? Is that what you want me to say?
It's one of the great quirky stats in the history of sports.
Four straight years of 247, and really from the first year when he hit 40 home runs for the A's, and one of the great steals from the Milwaukee Brewers when the A's basically gave up a guy that used to be in the Astros organization, Jacob Nottingham, as a catcher who hasn't really found his way to the big leagues on a consistent basis. He said, okay, well, let's temper ourselves about, what he did, and then he exceeded that with 43 home runs. Then he got led the majors at 48 last year. So I put nothing behind Chris Davis. I put zero expectations on trying to predict the number because I've been wrong for three straight years. And he's off to a good start. The thing that's different about Chris so far this year, Charlie, and I know it's the first week and a half of the season, is that the thing you talk about with Chris Davis, KD, is that he has a tremendous amount of power to right center, like JD Martinez, like Miguel Cabrera. So far, all five of his home runs have gone from center to left. So that's something that's a little bit different in his game right now. Once he locks in the right center field, which he's as good as anybody, then as good as those power numbers are, they figure to be pretty consistent again this year. The batting average, you could probably say around 247.
4 years in a row, exactly 247. The year before that, his first year as a full-time major leaguer, 244. And so far this season, 243 and 37 at-bats. 247 is a mathematical impossibility. It's bizarre. As far as all the home runs go, I mean, he's not exactly in a homer haven of a home ballpark. I don't know. Just a curiosity, Vince. I don't know if they consistently put this in the Oakland notes. They should. His home run total, I mean, it's a real high bar, but hey, he's hit 5 in 10 games, 11, then 22, then 27, then 42, then 43, then 48. If he raises his home run total for a sixth consecutive year, I'm wondering if that's a big league record. It has to at least be on a short list.
It is. I don't know offhand. I do remember when Kyle Seager got to the big leagues with the Mariners, they did the same thing. His numbers increased for several consecutive years, and I mean, that kind of dropped off last year, and certainly won't be there this year because of the injury. But that was something that early in Seager's career, but again, not to the numbers we're talking about with Chris, but his numbers were increasing every year. But that's the one recent name that comes to mind. I'm sure if you did some digging, you'd find you find somebody in, you know, in that category.
So a year ago, if we were projecting the hoped-for A's rotation, what do they have? Maybe one guy who's in it? The two best prospects are down, Manaea, Jarrell Cotton. Are there hopes for multiples of those guys joining them and mattering this season?
Well, the rotation for the A's at the beginning of 2018 did not finish the season with the A's in 2018. Didn't finish with them in 2018 because of injuries and trades, et cetera. A.J. Puck is one of their top prospects. He's a big, strong left-hander who had Tommy John surgery last year. He's on his way back. Manaea is already throwing from the shoulder injury and shoulder surgery. He's ahead of schedule. Jarrell Cotton isn't really quite in their category, although he's had success on the major league level. The guy that everybody was wanting to see at this time of the year and were expecting to see was a kid named Jesus Luzardo, who's a 21-year-old left-hander, the best left-handed prospect in all of baseball, and he got off to a great start in spring training. He was not going to make the club because of other out-of-option players, and they said it had nothing to do with the clock. He only pitched four times at AAA last year. Throws 95 with a changeup and a curve. Great pitchability. Went to Parker Stoneman High School in Miami. He's got a great story. He's very mature for his age. And then he went down with a rotator cuff strain. So he's down right now for about a month before he starts throwing again. He is somebody that, if he comes back healthy, will definitely be a factor for the A's in the second half. And, you know, he's like the Astros' Forrest Whitley. This guy he's the real deal. He's as good as it gets, and he's left-handed. So it'll be interesting to see how his season plays out and how it affects how far the A's can go.
Hey, two other things I want to ask you before I let you go. The Warriors are crossing the bay to San Francisco next year. The Raiders presumably are actually going to wind up in Las Vegas. Is there the thought that the A's can truly become Oakland's team, or until or unless there's the real ballpark, there's just a ceiling that's not that high?
Well, they're trying as hard as they can to get that done, Charlie. I mean, it's nonstop efforts by the A's team president, Dave Cavill. They've identified the site on the water near Jack London Square in the what's called the Howard Terminal area. There's in California, with any kind of construction, there are obstacles, and the A's are fighting through those. In a best-case scenario, they're there in 2023. There's going to be a public vote coming up with the county about this project and some other things happening. The A's are at the legislature all the time trying to get things moving through. It's a very, very slow process. The Warriors are in a brand-new, very expensive place next year, the Chase Center in San Francisco, and the prices will go through the roof for them. The Raiders have agreed, or you know, the city and the county have agreed with the Raiders to allow them to play at least one more year at the Coliseum as they, you know, figure out when they're going to start in Vegas. They're not a very good tenant. They're not a very good partner for the community. I mean, they've left multiple times. The A's are the team that said, "Look, we're here. We want to stay here. We say we're rooted in Oakland. It's not just a slogan. It's something they really believe in. They spend millions of dollars back in the community through community relations. So they're trying to make this happen, but." Like any other situation, Charlie, until you get that shovel in the ground, I think people are still kind of waiting to see that. They believe everything the A's are doing, but until they stand there with that proverbial, you know, photo op of the shovel, the golden shovels in the ground to prove that the project is actually underway, I think folks are kind of waiting. They've done everything they can possibly to dress up the Coliseum, and when it's full, it's a great place to see baseball. It's a lot of energy, as good a fans as anybody, very rabid. Just have to wait and see.
Yeah, non-yogiism. Until you build it, you haven't built it.
Yeah, exactly.
Final thing, Vince. Yankees, Red Sox, Astros were all three peas in a pod in terms of win projections at the start of the year. If I tell you whatever goes into it, one of them, oh my goodness, finishes the year 84-78 and well out of the playoff money. How might you rank the prospects of those three teams?
Well, for me, if you're looking at those three, I'd have to say the Yankees are the one right now because of injuries. I mean, the Red Sox are just not playing well. I mean, they've got their varsity playing. The Yankees don't, and the Astros are a very talented team, and as long as you've got good starting pitching like they do here, and they feel like they've got the back end of their bullpen squared away, and they've got the experience of being there, I think the Astros are very much alive for, you know, for the long term, and I think the Red Sox will get better. And the Yankees are talented. They've got a very good bullpen, but when you got 11 guys on the injured list, you got 11 guys on the injured list. I mean, your entire team is basically watching from afar. So until they get that straightened out, maybe there's an opportunity for Tampa Bay, which is a very talented club and a very tough place to play. Maybe they it put a little more pressure on them than just the 90 wins last year.
Vince Catronio, one of the A's radio voices, so in town for the weekend. Enjoy the stop back in Houston before the worst of the heat and humidity, but you have two more trips to come there. And, hey, as always, appreciate the visit. I'll look for you out there tonight.
Sounds great, Charlie. Thanks for having me.